of America. There are names that shine like beacons in the night.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. We begin our show from the nation's capital, as today is a national day of mourning for the funeral services for George H.W. Bush, the 41st President of the United States. Among those offering eulogies at the Washington National Cathedral services today was Bush's eldest son, the 43rd U.S. President, George W. Bush.
Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
Former Republican Senator Alan Simpson also spoke.
But he often said, when the really tough choices come, it's the country, not me. It's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's for our country that I fought for. And he was a man of such great humility. Those who travel the high road of humility in Washington, D.C. are not bothered by heavy traffic.
For more now, we turn to Nancy Cook, White House reporter for Politico. She's on the line from Washington, D.C. Nancy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So among the speakers today, were there any common themes that you noticed?
Well, I think it was interesting because it was just, it was in so many ways a celebration of Bush's life, but it was also a rebuke subtly of what has been going on here in Washington the past 2 years, both with Trump's presidency and just how partisan politics broadly has become. There was a lot of talk of, you know, sort of reaching across the aisle and working with people as Bush did to sort of pave the way for a bipartisan agreement on the budget. There was a real sense of people talked about not blaming others, telling the truth. And so no one sort of called out the Trump presidency specifically, as happened during the funeral of Senator John McCain. But there was definitely a thread of nostalgia for when politics didn't have to look the way that it currently does now.
Hmm. Now, there were five living presidents in attendance. That's quite a gathering. Did they interact much, especially with this sort of background, covert rebuke?
Well, it was so interesting because for a while, it was just the Obamas, the Clintons, and the Carters sitting there in the first row. And there was, a lot of chatting. Liz Cheney, the former vice president's wife, was talking to Hillary Clinton. You know, you could see sort of a lot of different interacting between all of them. And then President Trump, arrived from his motorcade as one of the last people in the church with Melania. He reached over and shook the hand of President Obama and Mrs. Obama, but didn't even look or make a gesture at the Clintons. And then as they waited for the Bush family to come in and the casket to come in, all of the people in that first row, all the presidents, former presidents and their spouses were basically just sitting in the front row, stone-faced. And there was a real sense of sort of tension and awkwardness, although none of it was spoken, obviously.
Hmm. I wonder what else we heard from George W. Bush, President Bush's son. We heard a clip of him at the beginning. He delivered one of the eulogies. What else did he say? And how do you think his speech was received today?
Well, it was interesting because, it's so rare that you have a family where there have been two presidents. Mm. And so, he's in such an interesting position to evaluate his father's legacy because they've both held the same highest office. But I thought that what was interesting about the tribute was, he did definitely talk about his father's diplomacy, the way his father handled foreign policy with grace and dignity, but also he brought a much more personal touch to it. And that's where you heard him choke up at the end, talking about how his father was, as a mentor to him, what it was like to have his father, how his father was a busy person and liked to play speed golf and was always running around. And so he brought a real human element to it. And he was one of the last speakers and the only one who sort of became emotional, which is expected, of course, as he spoke.
Any other personal touch that stands out to you immediately, Nancy?
Well, there was just a lot of personal touches. You know, we heard from former Senator Alan Simpson about Bush and how Bush, you know, really helped him when Simpson was catching a lot of political flack by inviting him to Camp David. And Simpson really talked about Bush's sense of loyalty to people and to his friends. You know, we've heard a lot in recent days about how Bush would write letters to people or look after people. You know, former Canadian top official, you know, also gave this pretty great speech just about how the president would reach, former president would reach across the aisle as well. And so it was a beautiful service. You know, it was a beautiful, moving service. There was a lot of military honors, a lot of pomp and circumstance. And it was interesting because, you know, in this moment when there is so much ugliness in politics, and everything feels so divided, this was actually a respite where for 2 hours there was kind of nothing that overtly political about it. It was just a celebration of the former president.
Nancy Cook, Politico White House reporter, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Also joining us now from Washington is Nicholas Burns, who worked for George H.W. Bush as an advisor on Soviet affairs. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
So you spent nearly three decades working in the U.S. government, including time under both President Bush's and President Clinton. Tell us what you're thinking today and what you were thinking during the services about the life of George H.W. Bush.
Well, I must say, it was a deeply moving service. It was a last salute of sorts to a great American leader. And the spirit inside that cathedral was one of deep admiration for him. It's interesting. I was leaving the cathedral and a 16-year-old young man, high school student, said he was interested that the eulogists focused more on George H.W. Bush's kindness and humility than they did his positions of power. And I think if you listen to the forced eulogists and the beautiful tribute, the homily given by a reverend from Houston, Texas, there was more talk about Bush the person, what a great loyal friend he was, how much integrity he had, how kind he was, how he went out of his way to get to know people. I think if you add it all up, the most powerful message was Bush the person was a pretty great person. Hmm. Of course, we all think that George H.W. Bush was a great foreign policy leader for the United States, too.
Hmm. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment, but let's talk again a little bit more about today's services, because it's my understanding, I've read that George H.W. Bush actually wanted President Trump to be sure that President Trump was going to be attending any services, despite some of the comments that have been made and some of the tensions that we just heard about with Nancy and some tensions that have been brewing before that. Is that accurate? And what do you think that says about the man, George H.W. Bush?
I just don't know personally what President Bush wanted for the funeral and pertaining to President Trump. But I would say this. It was a state funeral. And with a state funeral, of course, the head of state should be there. I thought it was important that President Trump be there with all of the other living American presidents. And it was a picture of unity for the country, where politics was left cast aside for a couple of hours. This morning and this afternoon, John Meacham, his biographer, was the first eulogist, and he called George H.W. Bush a 20th century founding father. And I think for a lot of us who work for him and who recall those days, he's the one who ended communism. He's the one that got us through the Cold War peacefully, not violently. He's the one who unified Germany. He's the one who was able to assemble a coalition of 700,000 soldiers from the Arab world, Europe, North America, to defeat Saddam Hussein in the Kuwaiti desert. He was a magnificent president as a global leader for the United States, and I think that was the tone of the funeral today as people remembered him.
Nancy Cook said there was also, while there was this unity being celebrated, underneath there was also maybe a quiet rebuke of what has happened to political dialogue and discourse right now. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think if you look at the four eulogists and even the homily by the reverend, they really paid a lot of attention to the fact that the personal qualities he had, humility, patriotism, he tried to be truthful in his life. They recounted the virtues he tried to live by, that he wrote out. And I think it's a picture of a great person, a great leader. Does it stand in contrast to a lot of people in public life today? Of course. But I really don't think anyone was trying to go out of their way to be political today. It was a funeral. It was a time to be somber, but it was also a time to celebrate the life of a great American president. I felt a sense of unity in the church today, in that magnificent national cathedral. I think people left feeling inspired by his life, and what a great American he was, from his 18-year-old induction into the U.S. Navy, one of the youngest Navy pilots we had in World War II, all the way through to last week. He lived a life of service and duty to the United States, and the emphasis was there. And because it was a state funeral, of course, the military played a major role, and it was beautiful to see the military chorus and the bands, the Joint Chiefs, which all of the Joint Chiefs were there. It was a very solemn ceremony, but it was also uplifting. I thought it was just a perfect day
country. That's not to say, though, that the administration or even the career of George H.W. Bush was without controversies. I mean, he certainly had his share of controversies, and he's had his share of critics as well.
Well, you know, any human being at any endeavor is going to be imperfect, and any president is going to make mistakes, but today was a day to focus on what he did right, how he was very much a unifier, not a divider. He was a patriot. He was someone that we could look up to. I worked in 5 presidential administrations as a career diplomat. And when I picture the American presidency, I picture him, someone of character, integrity, patriotism, duty. I think that's what came out today. And no one wanted to catalog. Historians can catalog what didn't go right. I think today was a day to honor the life of a great public servant.
So when you are thinking of him as the person, you've told us a lot about some of the milestones in his career, but when you think of George H.W. Bush, the person, give us a personal story that you often find yourself reflecting on.
You know, I was a very young person working for him in my mid-30s. I was a very junior person. I was the person at the end of the table taking notes at his meetings. He was a listener. He listened carefully to everybody, junior and senior. He brought a great sophistication because he had such incredible experience as he came to the job of being president. He was very kind. He always recognized everybody in the room. And boy, did that come forward today. I think if you catalog all of the eulogists, they would speak to these personal qualities, the qualities that those of us who worked in his administration knew about him. And I can tell you, when the White House staff back in those days, there was universal admiration for him because he wasn't just a powerful president. He was a nice person to everybody for who worked for him. And there were story after story today about that person, from Prime Minister Mulroney of Canada, from his son, President George W. Bush, from John Meacham, from Alan Simpson. It was a beautiful tribute.
All right. Nick Burns, former NATO ambassador, professor of the practice of diplomacy and international relations at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and the director for Soviet affairs under President George H.W. Bush. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Stay with us. Coming up, the legal fight over sanctioning Harvard students who join single-gender social clubs. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.